May it please the court. Just for the record, the actual only party defending this matter is the County Employee Retirement Fund. The State of Missouri, the Attorney General, and the Governor's Office sought to be dismissed from the case of action, the cause of action which did occur. This case challenges the statutory administrative rule and administrative decision by the County Employee Retirement Fund to exclude juvenile office personnel in single county judicial circuits, i.e. those confined to first-class counties without a charter form of government.
I believe there's one of those.
I'm sorry?
Just one of those, right?
I hope so, Judge. I got really tired of repeating that in the briefs. Who were paid by the county and now who are statutorily designated as county employees for all other purposes except the employee retirement fund at issue today. Just for two areas of background, SERF was created in 1994 to provide in non-charter counties retirement benefits for, quote, any elective or appointed officer or employee. Employee was not further defined in the original enacting legislation, which was section 50.1000, subparens 8. The judicial system that is affected as it creates a juxtaposition with this fund, I wanted to give you the background of that too, is that prior to 1995, juvenile office personnel were all funded by the county, although they've always been appointed by, supervised by, terminated by, if need be, by the judicial system and the judiciary as an equal branch of government. In 1995, the General Assembly modified section 211.393, essentially dividing the juvenile justice system in Missouri into two parts, one of which, those juvenile offices in multi-county judicial circuits, became state employees for all purposes, and that includes the retirement system afforded state employees, Mosers. The single-county judicial circuits, by definition, were now considered to be county employees for all purposes, with the single exception in those single-county judicial circuits without a charter form of government, exclusion from the County Employee Retirement Fund. The counties of the single judicial circuit counties with a charter form, such as St. Louis County, Jackson County, St. Louis City, and St. Charles County, got whatever their county government afforded other county employees within that particular area, since SERF never covered charter counties. Prior to the state takeover of the multi-county juvenile offices in 1995, SERF had decided and notified juvenile office personnel in Missouri in 1995 that they were not to be eligible for inclusion within SERF, although myself, Mr. Alders, and Mr. Paulette, as plaintiffs in this case, had already been enrolled in it, because SERF cited, their administrative board rather, cited a case law set by this court that held that juvenile office personnel were circuit employees and not county employees. I suggest and argued in the brief that this was inaccurate, an overbroad reading of the cases that were set down by this court, going all the way back to the 1920s when the original Hastings versus...
So Smith, you're saying, is incorrect and we should overrule?
No, Smith is not incorrect. Okay. What I meant to say is that the SERF board's argument that Smith and the preceding cases, the Weinstein one, all the way back to the Hastings versus Jasper County, they read those cases too broadly when SERF said that they made juvenile office personnel circuit employees and not county employees. The division comes about, it's almost like a dual employment relationship, and I think Judge Price addressed it in his concurring opinion in Smith that I've quoted fairly extensively, is that for purposes of control, authority, supervision, work responsibilities, termination, juvenile office personnel belong to the circuit court, because the circuit court has the responsibility of overseeing operations under Chapter 211. But since the judiciary has no authority to raise funds or to tax or to appropriate directly for purposes of pay and benefits, juvenile office personnel have always been assigned to one or another branch of government for that purpose. Prior to 1995, they were always assigned to the county unit. In 1995, the state divided it, or the General Assembly divided it, rather, whereas in multi-county judicial circuits, they're now considered state employees. By definition, 211.393, in the single-county judicial circuits, they're considered to be county employees. Again, the language is but for SERF. SERF is defined outside of the phrase applicable retirement plan that is otherwise afforded to juvenile office personnel under 211.393, the definitions section. The Smith case, and we're going to talk a lot about it today, I'm sure, held, both the majority and concurring opinions, it held essentially that for control purposes, juvenile office personnel belong to the circuit court, and the county or other legislative branch of government cannot interfere with that. For payment purposes, however, the judiciary gets to tap the units of government to have the money, whether it's through the overall now for the multi-county circuits through the state budget, or in the case of those juvenile offices assigned to county government through the judicial appropriations and the judicial budget provisions that are in Chapter 50, and I think it's somewhere around 640 in the section. Now, going back to my argument, though, after excluding, based on what I believe is this erroneous interpretation of Smith in the preceding cases, the SERF Board enacted a regulation in 1996 that essentially codified this. It held that for eligibility, an employee was defined as someone who was rather not defined as anyone who was appointed by an independent administrative body, and then in parentheses it says, such as the circuit court. I suggest this is pretty targeted as far as who the SERF Board meant to exclude from inclusion.
If the legislature then has targeted and specifically excluded juvenile court employees, shouldn't you be seeking a legislative change as opposed to, you know, coming here seeking a judicial change?
I've done that on two occasions, yes. That has been tried. It was tried. Senator Alter introduced a bill, I think, 3 years ago. Representative Dixon introduced a bill in 2006, about the same time this lawsuit was filed. But I don't think the sole remedy is through the legislature, and I don't believe this court should defer to the General Assembly because there are equal protection issues. And I think...
Why isn't there a rational basis to distinguish between people who are employees who are solely employed by and controlled by the county versus employees who are in this dual position that you've talked about and that you think Smith leaves open for them to be partly state, partly county, but it doesn't that enough of a distinction that they're subject to dual control that it would provide a rational basis for this distinction in retirement benefits?
Well, we could argue the point. I think the point could be argued, and that is, in fact, something Mr. Downey has argued on behalf of his clients, that the, you know, it's to cover county elected office holders, appointees. The problem with that comes about, if that indeed was ever an intent, and I question whether that actually was, I don't think there's any evidence of that, the legislature abdicated that in 2001 when they passed an amendment to Section 50.1000, parenthesis 8, which included within SERF certain appointees of the judicial branch, specifically those who were employed by the judiciary in a single county judicial circuit of the first classification, which did not participate in the loggers program. I think this is actually confined.
Again, was that a rational basis because they made a decision that those who didn't have other retirement systems needed to have something available to them? I mean, can't the legislature make those kind of distinctions and say we're going to make assistance available to people who don't otherwise have retirement or health care or something else?
Perhaps so, if they did so consistently. But the thing that the 2001 amendment does, and I think it was argued, is you don't have a right to any retirement systems, but you have one, so why are you complaining? The problem is that SERF does not contemplate inclusion of anybody in only one retirement system. It specifically provides for the inclusion of people who can receive SERF, i.e. the county appointed folks, say the recorder of deeds employees and people like that, may also have loggers or any other retirement system that they are eligible for through other lines of work, specifically loggers being the ones.
But do we give state benefits to someone who... Aren't they distinguishing between when they're going to give state benefits to someone and they're not doing it if they have the... don't they have to give up loggers and any other and SERF in order to qualify for the Moser system?
Those are the multi-county judicial appointees that were assigned to the juvenile court when they transferred over to state employment in 1995, mm-hmm. whatever they had accrued within the loggers of the applicable county retirement fund, as I understand it, I'm not a mathematician or an actuary, as I understand it, was transferred over into the Moser system, and the employees at issue gave up their entitlement to the applicable retirement fund that was at issue at that time. With regard to the separation of powers issue, the General Assembly gave to the judiciary the authority and the responsibility for Chapter 211 operations, also gave to the judiciary the responsibility of hiring people. The General Assembly then has elected to classify the juvenile justice system in Missouri into two particular parts, those multi-county circuits are state employees, those otherwise in single-county judicial circuits are county employees. What I think is the problem here, and that's for this court to decide, is that having decided to place the employees in one or the other applicable county units for pay and benefits, they then went further and said they get this benefit here, they don't get this one. I think there needs to be consistency. If in my county, for example, if there's an assistant prosecuting attorney entitled loggers and serve, then an attorney for the juvenile office as a county employee and so denominated should also have that same entitlement at that time. Otherwise, the person who goes to work for the judiciary is at a disadvantage compared to somebody that goes to work for the prosecuting attorney's office. And I interview people for my, you know, assistants in the juvenile office as staff attorneys, and I tell them that. I tell them, if you get the chance to go to the prosecutor's office as compared to working for me, you should take it just for the financial benefits that will accrue to you in that arena that do not accrue to you because you're appointed by the court. I'm out of time.
Thank you, counsel.
May it please the court. I've read a number of cases about retirement systems and cases on equal protection until I'm blue in the face. All of these cases try to accomplish one thing. The courts are trying to determine the legislature's intent. And it's typically in a situation where the legislature provides no definition for employee or provides an inadequate definition, such as in the Smith case. We don't have that problem here. Here, the legislature was abundantly clear. The legislature said in the definition of employee for SERF, you have to meet the right to control test and the source of funds test. So really the question here is not what would be the best policy, but the question here is the policy that the legislature adopted rational and constitutional? And we would submit that it is. If you look at the Smith case, and I understand we can debate what the true holding of the Smith case is and whether the persuasive concurring opinion is the better opinion, but what the majority said in Smith is that Mr. Smith, in the normal sense of the word, is employed by the state, employed by the court. And then the court went on to say why it came to that conclusion. And some of the reasons it gave were that the court hires, fires, directs, controls, and supervises Smith. The other thing the court mentioned was if Mr. Smith had received instruction from a county official, he would have ignored it. So obviously he's not an employee of the county because he doesn't take direction from county officials. Here, what the Missouri legislature said is, in order to be included under SERF, you have to be an employee in the normal sense of the word. That means you're hired, fired, directed, controlled, and supervised by a county official, and you have to receive your source of funding from the county.
Has the legislature kind of blurred that distinction by what it did with, in effect, Boone County and some of the later enactments, and does that affect the underlying rational basis? Which they might originally have had.
I expected a lot of questions about the 2001 amendment, and in the brief you'll see that we've attempted to defend that amendment by arguing that what the legislature did was provide benefits to those that by definition do not have a logger's retirement benefit. And if you look at the Boone County case, which is cited by both sides, you will see that those employees of the circuit court in Boone County sought Moser's benefits as well as SERF benefits, and they were denied both. And I believe the 2001 amendment came down right after that decision. And so what the legislature was trying to do was provide some benefits for this very small class of employee. I understand that it creates some issues for me in terms of arguing against the special law allegation. And to the extent that this court would determine the 2001 amendment is a special law, I think it can be severed from the remainder of the statute.
But is that issue really in front of us? I mean, does your opponent have standing to challenge the 2001 amendment when it affects the 13th Circuit?
I would submit that the appellants do not. And in fact, if you look at the answer that I filed in this case, one of the things that I asserted was that we should bring in those employees, and we should also bring in Mosers, because at the time I thought really what the appellants were arguing was that it was unfair to exclude them from Mosers, because most of the juvenile court employees under Section 211.393 that are located in multi-county circuits are covered by Mosers. I also figured that because the appellants were attacking the 2001 amendment, that the employees in Boone County that are covered by that amendment should be heard. The court did not see it that way, and the appellants did not see it that way. I'm not sure. Did I answer your question?
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine.
One of the other challenges that the appellants make as against the definition in Section 50.1000 is that it creates a special law. And I would submit that the classifications are rational. That's the same standard you have under the Equal Protection Clause. I would also submit that the members of the classes are treated uniformly. And so that it is not a special law. The third constitutional challenge the appellants make is that by imposing a right to control test in the definition of employee, the legislature has handcuffed the courts to where the court cannot hire who it wants and pay them what it wants. And I would submit that no facts were pled in this case to support that allegation. And as Judge Callahan concluded below, there's nothing to indicate that having only one retirement benefit, which each of the appellants have, and actually Appellant Alderson receives benefits under Mosers as well as Loggers, the court determined that having one benefit does not mean that the court is curtailed in who it can hire and fire and what it can pay them. Those are the three constitutional arguments. Those are our responses. If there are no questions, thank you very much.
Thank you, counsel.
Just briefly, so we be clear on this, Mr. Alderson has not received Mosers because of any particular, he receives Mosers because of a unique situation occasioned by the 1995 amendments to 211.393. He receives Mosers, he receives part of his salary from the state because he was appointed as a juvenile officer prior to 1999, and he receives part of it from the county for the same reason. He receives Mosers on his state portion of his income, he receives whatever, Loggers in our case, on the county portion. What we seek today on his behalf is that he also receive the SERF eligibility for membership. Equal protection, and I think the special law situation is all about the same thing. Members of the class have to be treated equally. That's the whole thing about special law. That's the whole situation about equal protection. You have a subclass of county employees here by tradition, by history, for purposes of pay and benefits that was created by the legislature in 1995 when they reformed the juvenile justice system to include the state takeover for the multi-county circuits and made the single-county circuits county. You have that same sub-classification by the enabling definitions of SERF to exclude people from coverage under SERF because of the source of their appointment, being the judiciary, being the one branch of government that does not have the ability to financially defend, compensate, provide retirement benefits or any benefits, whatever, for its appointees, to use a more precise term. That is what's before the court today, I think, is that the quality of the judicial branch of government cannot be whittled away, parsed away, this benefit, yes, this benefit, no. It needs to be consistent across the board, equal to whatever other branch of government its appointees are assigned to for the purposes of paying benefits. And if there are no more questions, that's all I have to say today.
Thank you, counsel. And the case is submitted.